Your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17, page 857 in your Scofield Bible, and beginning with the 22nd verse, we'll read in unison through verse 24. Verses 22, 23, and 24 of the 17th chapter of Ezekiel. And let's stand, please, as we always do for the reading of God's Word. And as I said, we'll read the verses together in unison, starting with verse 22. Ready? Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar. The high cedar, and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will plant it upon an high mountain and eminent. In the mountains of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs, and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. The 23rd verse is the text verse for this evening's message. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for place where we can come and we can feel like it's a profitable thing for us to be here. There's nothing else we could do. There's no place else we could go where we could find the comfort and the strength and the blessing and the joy of the fellowship here and the preaching. And thank you for practical, helpful preaching from thy word. We pray that you bless tonight's service. We pray that you bless once again our preacher. We pray that all of us would take note of the messenger of God and the message that you've given him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before I pray, I want to read for you tonight, without your turning to it, just one little statement from our text. The Lord talks about a tree or a twig, a tree he'll plant. And he says about that tree, it'll bear fruit and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. The Lord has so many wonderful ways of describing whosoever. So many different ways. One place he talks about going the highways and the hedges, the streets and lanes of the city, and bring forth the halt and the maimed and the blind, which is telling us that everybody is welcome. He says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And on it goes. And there's so many figures of speech in the Bible where God speaks concerning the subject of whosoever. I do not know of a more beautiful figure of speech than our text tonight, where it talks about this goodly cedar, this magnificent king of the forest. And it says, under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. What God is saying is, whosoever will, may come. I want to speak to you tonight on all fowl of every wing. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful little statement this is, reminding us that the rich and the poor may come, the intellectual and the illiterate may come, the big and the little may come, the famous and the infamous may come, the great and the small may come, whosoever will may come. Bless me as I speak and our people as they hear. Amen. the cedar of Lebanon is the royalty of the eastern forests. They live as long as 3,500 years. The branches that shadowed King David, no doubt many of them are the same ones that shade the American tourist who travels in the Middle East today. It is the monarch of the trees. It was chosen as the timber of the temple. What a royal place for birds to find nesting. The writer is watching as all birds of every wing find rest in his branches. And there are no box seats. There are no skyboxes. No reserve branches. All branches welcome all of the different birds. Every of the fowl, all fowl of every wing. The sparrow nests or rests beside the eagle. And the raven rests beside the dove. It's all fowl of every wing. Boy, I like that. I like that. All fowl of every wing. They come and find refuge in this, the monarch of the forest of the Middle East, even the cedar tree. Now, for a while tonight, I'd like to talk to a few birds. I'd like to talk for a minute to a little sparrow. I'd like to say to the little sparrow, you may come and find rest in the cedars of Lebanon. You may possess an inferiority complex. You cannot sing like the Bob White. You cannot soar like the eagle. You cannot dress like the peacock. You cannot pose like the robin. You cannot coo like the dove. You cannot discern like the pigeon. You cannot talk like the mynah. You cannot glide like the seagull. But the branches are for you. Little sparrow, you just come and pick out your branch, and you're just as welcome in this tree as all of the fowls of the air. All the kingly and beautiful and gorgeous fowls with their beautiful music and their beautiful wings and their plumage, all of it. Little sparrow, you come. You're welcome in this tree, the cedar of Lebanon. Let me talk for a while to the unclean raven. Perhaps you do not know that the raven was not suitable for sacrifice. For the raven is an unclean bird, much like the buzzard would be. And it was unsatisfactory for sacrifice. I'd like to talk to that unclean raven. And I'm talking tonight to some little sparrows. I'd like to tell you that you're also welcome to come to a tree that I'll mention after a while. But I want to talk for a while to the unclean raven. You too, unclean raven, may find refuge in this cedar. You may have a guilt complex, for you are unfit for sacrifice. You're not beautiful like the pheasant. You're not useful like the wren, or peaceful like the dove. Your talon has been cruel. Your beak has feasted on unclean flesh. You have been rejected for holy sacrifice. God would not allow them to offer you as a substitute or a sacrifice. The turtle dove was offered for sacrifice and accepted, and likewise the pigeon was offered for sacrifice and accepted, but not you, raven, for you're unclean, and God does not want you on the altar of sacrifice. Clean birds shun you, and you have swooped to devour the filthiest of the earth's remains. But I got good news for you, raven. You're welcome in this cedar of Lebanon. You come just like the other birds can come. You come, you're as welcome as the pigeon, suitable for sacrifice. You're as welcome as the turtle dove, suitable for sacrifice. And in this great tree of Lebanon, the monarch of the trees, you just come on because you are just as welcome as anybody. Let me talk for a moment to another bird. Let me talk to the blackbird. Dear blackbird, you have been chosen for blandness, if you please. You know not the glamour of the blue jay. You don't know the vigor of the eagle or the beauty of the redbird. No one cages you for admiration. Snow has covered your food, and you cannot join the feathered choirs, blackbird. You envy the bright bluebird. You envy the happy canary. You envy the frisky sparrow. You envy the proud peacock. But I've got news for you. You just come on. For you're as welcome in this tree as is the proud peacock. And you're as welcome in this tree as is the beautiful sweet dove of peace. And you're as welcome in this tree as the blue jay. And you're as welcome in this tree as is the eagle.
converts in this tree, there are no races and there are no different social standings. You're just as welcome in this tree, raven, as is the dove. You're just as welcome in this tree, little sparrow, as is the mighty eagle. You're just as welcome in this tree, little blackbird, as is the beautiful blue jay. Come, you're welcome. Come on and come in, you with the bruised pinion. You likewise are welcome. Come, you bird with the broken talon. You likewise are welcome. Come, you with the injured wing. You likewise are welcome. Come, you who are too weak to fly south for the winter. You likewise are welcome. Come in, buzzard. Come in, crow. The fowl of every wing, the Bible says, the fowl of every wing is welcome in this tree, the cedar of Lebanon. Now, word to the eagle. You soar to the heights. Sparrows fear you. Swallows admire you. You wear an air of self-confidence. Your picture is often mentioned as in connection with the United States of America and its symbol. Your dress is elegant plumage. You may come also, but you're not fooling me, eagle. That proud look does not show what's on the inside of your breast. For inside of your breast, proud eagle, there beats in that royal breast the same fears and doubts that beat in the little breast of the sparrow and the immigrant sparrow. I'm saying to you, dear eagle, you may come, for you are as welcome as anybody to lodge in the branches of this great, great cedar of Lebanon. But, dear eagle, you're no more welcome than the raven is. You're no more welcome than the little sparrow is. All may come. But, dear eagle, you must come just like everybody else. And you have no reserve seat. And you have no skybox. And you have no special place where you can sit. You have no box seat awaiting for you. You come just like everybody else comes. The wings, the fowl of every wing can come into this tree. Don't leave me. Let me tell you of another tree. On a hill outside the northern walls of Jerusalem, it is made in the shape of a cross. And just like the mighty cedar of Lebanon welcomed the fowl of every wing, even so the cross of Calvary says, anybody may come. Come if you're weak and come if you're strong. Come if you're rich and come if you're poor. Come if you live in a $1 million house or come if you live in the ghettos of the slums of Chicago. Come, bus kid. Come, rescue mission man. Come, deaf friend. Come, poor. Come, rich. The fowl of every wing. Thank God tonight the ground is level at the foot of the tree called Calvary. Come, Magdalene, with your demon possession. Come to the tree of Calvary. You're welcome there, as is someone who's never known a demon whatsoever. Come, fallen one, you're just as welcome as those who've never known the rustling of unholy skirts. Come, woman of Sychar, from your unholy skirt with the five husbands you've had and living now with somebody who's not your husband. Come, come, come. You're as welcome as Nicodemus is. You're as welcome as the rich. You're as welcome as the pure. I'm saying tonight, I don't care who you are, Calvary throws its arms wide open and says, come. Every fowl of every being is welcome at the tree called Calvary. Come, Zacchaeus, with your filthy lucre. Come, Zacchaeus, after having robbed widows of what little they had. Come, Zacchaeus, after having robbed senior citizens of their life saving. Come, Zacchaeus, after having stolen money with unholy fingers. Come, Zacchaeus, come. Come from your lack of integrity and come from your dishonesty. For don't care who you are, the fallen woman in Sychar's well, the woman possessed by the 10 devils, and the crooked, wicked tax sinner named Zacchaeus, it's a whosoever. Come, for all things are now ready. Get to the tree of Calvary. Come, Matthew, from your dishonesty, having bought your way into the opportunity to fleece people from their money, by your ungodly, dishonest tax collecting. Come, Matthew, you're just as welcome as the righteous. You're just as welcome as the honest. You're just as welcome. This tree is for the foul of every wing. So come, fallen woman of Sychar. Come, Magdalene, possessed with seven devils. Come, Zacchaeus. Come, Matthew. There's room at the tree of Calvary for you. Come, Nicodemus, from your academia. Come, dying thief, from your sticky hands. Come, Rahab, from your scarlet window. Come, James and John, from your fishing boats. Come, alcoholic, from your tavern bar. Come, weary one, from your needle-punctured arm. Come, guilty one, with your hands dripping with the blood of others. Come, fallen one. Come, broken one. Come, lonely one. Come, forsaken one. Come, aged one. Come, forgotten one. Our God is using this little figure of speech where he invites the eagle and the sparrow, where he invites the blue jay and the raven, where he invites the robin, and he also invites the unclean birds, the buzzard, if you please, and the crows, if you please. God is using this little figure of speech to say, it doesn't matter who you are, the tree of Calvary beckons everybody who will come. There's room in the tree for the fowl of every wing. I took a little drive this week. I was preaching at the pastor's school for Dr. Bob Gray, as I do every year. I spoke Monday night, and Tuesday I borrowed a car. But 20 miles away is a little town called Marshall, Texas, a town of about 20, 25,000 people. The town that housed the first little full-time church that I pastored, the same building that's out here on our college campus now. I took a little drive. Let me take you for a few minutes along my drive. I turned off of Interstate 20 to Highway 43, State Highway 43. I drove down State Highway 43, and just on the right, I saw a house. I pulled over beside the road and relived an experience that took place in that house down at the bottom of a hill across the street from the Grange Hall Methodist Church and the cemetery. Down the bottom of the hill is a house. Once was a nice home. It's no longer a nice home, but once was a home of well-to-do people. Mrs. Howes and I had played some tennis. We used to, as young people, we used to play tennis. We came home from playing tennis one night, and the phone was ringing. It was one of our younger married ladies, I guess about 25, 26 years of age. And she was crying and shouting, Pastor, come quickly. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. Come quickly, Pastor. He's going to kill me. I got in the car and drove down about a couple of miles to that house, drove down. Now, almost to Interstate 20. It was not Interstate 20. It was not there then. But over here on the left, down in a little valley, with the lake behind it, was a house where some wealthy, rather wealthy people lived, at least above middle class people lived. I walked up to the house, and she was crying. She was trembling. She said, Preacher, he tried to kill me. He got the gun and pointed the gun to my head and pulled the trigger, but there are no bullets in the gun. He's rushed to buy some bullets. He's going to come back and kill me. Preacher, what can I do? I said, you stand right here. I relived this story last Tuesday morning. I said, you stand right here. In comes this young man. His last name is Roberts. He walks in with that gun. Comes over to his wife and points that gun at his wife and says, I'm going to kill you. He was dead serious. I stood in front of her and held my hands out like that. I said, no, you're not going to kill her. You may kill me, but to kill, before you kill her, you're going to have to kill me. He said, Reverend, get out of my way. I didn't know the man. I knew his wife. She came to our church. I didn't know him. Reverend, get out of the way. I'm going to kill her. If I've got to kill you to kill her, I'll kill her. Get out of the way. I stood there between her and the gun held by her husband, who was a would-be murderer. And I said, okay, you go ahead. But while you are holding that gun, pointed that gun to my head, I'm going to tell you the most wonderful story you ever heard. If after you kill me, after you kill her, you drop your knees and ask God to forgive you, God will forgive you. I won't tell you a story. All men are sinners by nature. For all, none is righteous, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Standing there with that gun no more than 6 feet from my head in front of the wife that he was going to murder. And I said, now the second thing is, there's a price on that sin. And that price is hell. And that's why I want to tell you something. If you're not saved and you die, you won't go to hell because you killed me. You won't go to hell because you killed your wife. You'll go to hell because your hands are bloody with the blood of Jesus Christ himself. But I said, sir, let me say, he said, get out of the way, Reverend. I'll shoot. I'll kill you. I'll kill him. I want to kill my wife. If I've got to kill you to kill her, I'll do it. I said, go ahead. But I'm going to tell you the wonderful story of the love of Christ. God looked down and saw that you were a sinner. And God looked down and saw that you were going to hell. But God did not want you to go to hell because God loves you. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life. Said, Reverend, get out of the way. I said, sir, I'm not getting out of the way. You're going to hear the gospel while I'm being killed and your wife is being killed. You're going to hear the gospel. I said, Jesus died for you. And if you'd get on your knees and trust him, and the gun began to tremble like that, all of a sudden he fell to his knees. I walked over and got down on my knees beside him and won that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. The next Sunday afternoon, I baptized him in that pond behind that house. You'll see it. You'll see it many times. In that pond behind that house. What am I saying? I'm saying the fowl of every wing can come to Calvary tonight. There's room at the cross for you. I kept on driving. I drove by a house that has some very unhappy and happy memories for me. One Sunday night, that very little building out there, on our campus, a very attractive young lady about, oh, I guess 21, 22 years of age, came out. I was shaking hands back in the back. She said, Reverend, I need to see you. I need an appointment. Could you come by and see me tomorrow morning? And I said, yes, I will. What is your address? She gave me her address, and I promised I'd come by to see her the next morning. I did not know that she was a prostitute, paid to ruin my ministry. I did not know that somebody had hired her and that she was a prostitute. I did not know that somebody hired her to ruin me. But God, in his mercy, was so good. I picked up the phone. I called A.L. Burchill, pastor of a church on the other side of town. And I said, Brother Burchill, a young lady has asked me to come to see her this morning. And I feel very uneasy about seeing her alone. He said, well, why don't you just talk to her at the door? I said, I feel uneasy about that. I'm not going to go in. But I feel uneasy. I said, would you mind just going with me to visit this young lady? I did not know she was a fallen woman. I did not know she was a prostitute. I did not know she was paid to ruin me as a preacher. I did not know that they had hired a photographer to take her picture as she fell into my arms. A.L. Burchill and I walked up. I said, you stand over here as a witness. I knocked on the door. The door opened. And there she stood in a see-through nightgown. I mean, as wicked a dress as you have dressed as you have seen in your life. And she fell toward my arms. And as she did, the photographer took a picture. And the plan was she was going to fall in my arms. And while I was holding this lady with this see-through nightgown, the photographer was going to snap the picture and ruin me. But bless God, I saw her fall. And I just stepped back and she fell flat on her face, brother. Flat on her face. And what the photographer got was a woman who had a bloody nose. That's what he got was a picture. I said, Brother Virgil, come here to me. I said, ma'am, you go back in and get some clothes on. And come back modestly. I want to talk to you. If not, I want to expose you publicly and let folks know what you are. She walked in. She got some clothes on. She came back to the front porch. I got the old King James Bible out and took it down the old Roman road. And that lady bowed on her knees and received Christ as her Savior. Was baptized the next Sunday afternoon in a pond out there near the Grange Hall Baptist Church and kept on coming to our church till I left there in 1952. Hallelujah. The bird, a fowl of every wing may come. Come drunkard, come prostitute, come harlot, come fallen woman, come wicked man, come embezzler, come dirty buzzard, come unclean raven, come, little insignificant sparrow. Come, mighty eagle. The tree of Calvary has branches that open to everybody. And the arms of our Savior, as they're outstretched on the cross, are simply saying, come over here and come over here. You don't have to go there. You can go here and live forever. I'm saying at the tree of Calvary, there's room for everybody. I drove down Washington Street, South Washington Street. Over my left was the Cann Memorial Hospital, where you gave birth.
to Becky, our oldest child, and became a mother. I pulled up beside the hospital and stopped and relived that night. Wee hours of the morning, Becky was born. And then I remembered an interesting story. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was called to come quickly to Cairns Memorial Hospital. A man was dying and calling for me. I rushed to the hospital that night. It must have been 2:30 by the time I got there. And the nurse said, "Reverend Hiles, this man is the biggest bootlegger in Harrison County. He's dying. He won't live an hour. He's calling for you." I walked in and I said, "Sir, may I help you, please?" And this bootlegger said, "I'm dying. I'm dying. And I'm the biggest bootlegger in this county." I said, Isaiah 1:18 says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." But he said, "Listen, Reverend, you don't know. I've broken marriages because of my bootleg liquor. That's what I've done." I said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." But he said, "I've killed innocent people. I've caused car wrecks where men, women, boys, and girls were killed on the highways and their blood was shed." I said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." But he said, "I've caused little children to be orphaned and wives to be widowed. That's how wicked I am. Could God save me?" I said, "You let me tell you something. God will save anybody. The fowl of every wing may come to the tree of Calvary. The fowl of every wing may come to the tree of Calvary." He said, "But look, I've caused auto accidents." And then, with his dying breath nearly, he said, "I've taken these hands, and I've literally murdered people with these hands. Reverend, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm dying." Brother, when you come time to die, you won't need last rites. You won't need confessional. You won't need confirmation. You're going to need a Savior when you come time to die. I got underneath the oxygen tent where he was gasping for breath, and I told him the most wonderful story ever told. I went to Romans down the old Roman road and told him how he could go to heaven, and there under that tent, he came to the tree of Calvary and found lodging there at the tree of Calvary. There are some unknown sparrows here tonight. Welcome to the tree of Calvary. You're not very famous. Your name is not in the young lights. Perhaps not 10 people in this church know who you are, but there's a God in heaven that knows you by name. There's a God in heaven that knows all about you and loves you personally. If you've been the only sinner in the whole world, he will have come and lived and died and risen for you. He invites you to find lodging in the branches of his tree. There's some unclean ravens here tonight. Some whose hands are guilty of the shedding of blood. Some whose skirts have been rustled in an unholy manner. There's some tonight in this room, all this great crowd of people, they're all kinds of birds. They're insignificant sparrows. They're unclean ravens. They're wicked buzzards. They're ugly blackbirds. Or you may be a cute little dove, or a beautiful little a big eagle. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God loves you as much as he loves anybody. And he says, "Hey, come on, the wing, the bird of every wing may come to the tree." Some of you are homely blackbirds. Come to the tree of Calvary. There are those who have come and lodged in his branches and have received Christ as your Savior, but you've flown your own way. Tonight you're backslidden. You're going to heaven when you die, but you're not living for God. May I invite you back to the tree of Calvary. And the same God that forgave you and saved you will forgive you again and make you useful once again. Come, lonely Christian, to the branches of Calvary. Come, young widow, to the branches of Calvary. Come, wheelchair patient, to the branches of Calvary. Come, lonely senior citizen widow, to the branches of Calvary. Come, those whose son was killed recently, you'll find refuge, encouragement, and comfort at the branches of Calvary. You don't need a psychologist.
You don't need a secular marriage counselor. You don't need a psychiatrist. You need Jesus. Come to Calvary and the branches of the tree. Come, cancer-stricken one, to the branches of Calvary. Come, every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Come, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and He will give you rest. Come, ye thirsty, and drink. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Come, and He will give you rest. Come, all foul of every wing. You come, and you'll find rest in the tree of Calvary. Come, mission man. Come, truck driver. Come, bus kid. Come, ghetto resident. Come, street walker. Come, homeless one. Come, college student. Come, pathfinder. Come, there's room for you at the tree of the cross, the tree of Calvary. I was preaching at our church one night. Looked over in the pastor, looked like he was about to have a stroke. Pale as a ghost. He leaned over to me and said, "See that man on the fourth row on the left, center section?" I said, "Yes." He said, "That man is worth probably $100 million. He's never come to church. We don't even know if he's, and we know he's not saved. We don't know if he belongs to the church or not. He's never been to church. And he's here tonight. I don't know why he's here. There he sits on the fourth row, worth over $100 million. And this has been about 30 years ago. I stood to preach. Preached the same sermon I was going to preach. I don't change my sermon for anybody. He got mad and walked out. Pastor said, "Look what you've done. Chased off a man worth over $100 million. I said, "Sir, I don't care if the guy's got $100 million or owes $100 million. I preach the same message to everybody." The next night, I stood to preach and led that down that aisle, walked that man, and sat over here again. Walked out last night. Invitation time came. He didn't walk the aisle. He motioned for me. "If you got $100 million, I'll come. Just. If you got $100, I'll try." He motioned for me. And I went back to the fourth row and won that multi-millionaire to Jesus Christ. That man practically financed that church. Never gave me a dime. That's the way I am. Hear about these preachers. "I want a man to Christ, and he gave me $1 million. I want a man to Christ, and he gave me a $500,000 house. Everybody I win to Christ, I've got to bail him out of jail to get him baptized." What am I saying? I'm saying that soaring eagle. That soaring eagle was welcome. Several years ago, when President Carter was in the White House, I got a telegram from him inviting me to come to the White House. That was the third time I'd been invited to come to the White House, twice under Reagan. I could not come because I was preaching somewhere, and I wouldn't cancel speaking engagement anywhere to go to the White House. In fact, if I was invited to the White House, this White House, I'd make a speaking engagement to keep from going. I went to the White House. I talked to the president, had my picture made with him, President Carter. Talked to him for a while. I met personally the entire cabinet. There were several of us. I'm guessing a dozen of us had been invited to have a meal, and I ate right across from President Carter. It was all over. I walked out the front gate of the White House, and there was a man with no legs selling pencils. And I stopped and I said to him, "Sir, I've got some good news for you, how you can get your legs back." He looked up at me and said, "What?" I said, "I can tell you how you can get legs back and have real legs someday, where you can walk and jump and run." I took the old Roman road out and explained it to him. And I said, "Sir, as far as God's concerned, you're as important as the man that sits in the White House tonight." Come, foul of every wing. There's a tree outside the northern wall of the city of Jerusalem that welcomes everybody to come. I don't care who you are tonight, little sparrow, you're as welcome as the eagle. I don't care how bad you are tonight,
filthy raven, you're as welcome as the turtle dove.
I don't care how many times you've been on the highways of sin, eating the flesh that is the roadkill on a highway. I don't care.
You're just as welcome as the pigeon is. For God points the night out and says, on the tree of Calvary, there's room for the bird of every wing. Would you bow your heads, please?